You are listening to the Everything Swallow podcast, where you will hear everything.
We'll just get started. Okay. I'm excited, Dennis, to have you here.
I'm excited to have Dennis here.
Yeah.
He's like the guru
of concentrates.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Today, we just want to get knowledge from you.
Okay.
Because, like, for Shane and I, we're flower children.
Oh, yes.
And that's all we do is flower. But, you know, concentrates and extracts are huge right now.
Oh, yes.
And we don't know anything about them.
Nope.
So you go into the stores, and of course, they're always trying to push them.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't even have a way to smoke them.
Well, and I think that's the most interesting thing about concentrates is some people feel like you almost look like a chemist by the time you buy a rig. And
you do.
You're sitting there at the torch, and you're warming it up. And
when I first saw my kids doing it, I thought, they're smoking crack.
That's what I thought.
Out of a bong. They got a bong crack now.
I told them, this doesn't look good, son. I'm concerned.
Well, and even myself, I mean, when I got my first rig and I set it up at the house, my wife was kind of looking at me like, really? So this is what you do now?
This is it. This is where we're going now, huh?
What are you into?
And I'm the original flower child. I mean, I love my flower. And that's been one of my passions in the concentrate game, was to make sure that I stayed true to the flower and I brought across those same flavors, those same feeling that you got when you're smoking flower.
Right.
And one thing about concentrating the product is it is a way to remove a lot of the material that you don't want to smoke, the chlorophylls, the waxes, the paraffin. All of those things are the things that, you know, depending on the temperature, those kinds of things, they can have a buildup in your lungs or other adverse effects.
Well, and that's stuff that's found in the flower?
In regular flower. And really, the point to that being is by removing those substances that we already know from a long term that, you know, they don't hurt people necessarily when you're smoking flower. People are always looking to get rid of as many of those properties as they can.
Have a cleaner
as
product.
As clean as they can. And so that's where concentrates really comes into the game, is we're really able to eliminate every other part of the plant and just get down to the components that people are looking for, like THC or CBD, a wide variety of you know, like CBG, CBN. There's a wide variety of cannabinoids that are contained in the cannabis plant. And by extracting those, we can then isolate them and we can make those much stronger than what they would be in the plant form. By doing this, of course, you're making changes to the structures that you're used to. When you're smoking flower, most of the THC in the bud form is actually THCA. And as you're heating the flower, you're converting that into being just THC.
Huh. Wow.
Most of what everyone's used to talking about is Delta 9. There's actually also Delta 8. And so the point to this is the cannabis plant is very, very complex. You have this wide variety of cannabinoids. Then you have also a wide variety of terpenes and flavonoids that I always call that the essence of the plant. That's what gives it the flavor, the smell. Those are the things people recognize the most with what they're smoking,
right,
whether or not it's a diesel or something really, really sweet.
Right.
And if you're really to get into the definition of indicas and sativas, that it's that combination of cannabinoids and terpenes that really develop each of those different, different strains that you would be running into.
That's crazy. How long have you been doing this? You're a master extractor?
When I started into this, it was about 6 years ago, and I was in the mechanical seal industry. I actually worked on SpaceX. I did the critical sealing surfaces for the Merlin 1D engine.
Wow.
Which is the first rockets that went to outer space for SpaceX, the space station. First rocket to lift off 80 meters and re-land. And so I had a wide variety of knowledge of pressures and different materials and how they reacted with heat and temperature. So when I got into the cannabis game, I had talked to my wife and I was really unhappy where I was at. And I told her I really wanted to get licensed and be in cannabis. So I went and got my support badge and started applying. And it was really funny, being an older guy that I am, I didn't exactly fit in as what people wanted for a bud tender.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a beautiful young girl.
What?
And so I found it really difficult to try and get my foot in the door at first. And I was really down to giving up and going back to traditional, you know, workplace
right, what
society. And I saw, well, my wife saw this ad for Evo Lab on Craigslist, and I went ahead and applied and went in for an interview. And it's really a funny story between me and the owner of Evo Lab at the time, Alex. When they hired me, he was like, "What are you guys doing hiring this old man?" he was used to that younger generation
right.
That was involved in the industry. And so a couple of weeks had gone by, and you know, he was quoted as saying, "I can't believe that I didn't want to hire the old man at first." And so it kind of stuck with me, and it's been one of those things where my coworkers call me the old man, and it's for the knowledge that I pass
yeah,
on
yeah.
to them.
You're
and
like
pumps
the sage.
And compressors and all the sealing surfaces, how they work together and the components. So it's really been interesting that I was able to bring the knowledge that I had previous to the cannabis industry and all the different areas of the cannabis industry and extraction where they were useful. I also, prior to John Crane, was a water and wastewater plant operator, so I had a lot of lab experience as far as doing lab testing, maintaining a lab, proper protocols for taking tests, preserving them, preparing them to go out to third parties for testing. And so it was a natural fit to fit into a cannabis lab where we don't have necessarily the federal jurisdictions watching over us. We have cities and states watching over us. So implementing the same type of standards that are used in water and wastewater or pharmaceuticals or food was a challenge at first, because a lot of the people in the industry weren't thinking along those lines.
Right,
And so over the last 6 years, it's been really a lot of fun to watch as my industry has grown up and thought of themselves as more of a pharmaceutical company that has a duty to make sure that their products are clean and well-tested so that when we deliver that product to our customers, they can have a lot of faith that, you know, they're not getting something that's going to harm them
right.
and that they're able to trust. You know, we deal with a lot of patients, and that is an important thing to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big time.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, I know you're with Evo Labs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone out there, I'm sure lots of people have tried the pens, but they are so good. All of the extracts. Oh, they're so good. Just the flavor, just the high you get from them. They are by far my favorite out there, and that's what I always tell everybody. Oh, no, you don't want that. You should try Evo.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, the Evo Lab products that you see out there, I mean, that's been developed over the last 6 years, and that's been a big part of what's happened at Evo Labs, is being able to bring in technologies that were used in other industries and apply them the same in the cannabis industry.
You've kind of created the industry standard, kind of unintentionally.
I'm
bringing in your knowledge.
I think in a lot of ways I've definitely helped set a standard in the industry. I can't take, you know, definitely cannot take full credit for
right.
it, because this is an industry that has so many people involved and so many people constantly evolving
right.
their processes to make them better. And every day it's interesting to see the new processes that are coming out. So as far as the standards, I think that we have definitely set the standards with Evo Lab.
Mm-hmm.
As you talked about, our Alchemy is a product where that is completely GMO. The only thing we're using in that product is what went into the reactor and what was extracted out of the actual cannabis. We have a way of deconstructing and reconstructing, we call it. And this allows us to, you know, really take the smaller components and then be able to put them back together in the right mixture so that everybody can really enjoy the product that we put out at that point.
That is insane.
It's hard to get my head around.
It is. I agree. And I would say that you coming to this industry at that company, I would even say, has progressed them much quicker than they would have been. Because I feel like Evo is way ahead of a lot of the other companies in town with the product that they're putting out, with how clean it is and how good it is. Yeah. I mean, even like we haven't been to the lab in a long time. But when we went, it was phenomenal. I mean, it was beautifully clean and white and just, and it looked like a total chemistry lab. I mean, the machines that are in there, you guys know what you're doing over there because it's impressive. It's impressive.
Well, and you know, that's a really big part of what we do is staying true to the product and the cleanliness. I think you guys would be surprised. The lab's really grown since the last time you've been there. And we have quite a few employees in there.
I bet to
the point that we're working on other locations and creating more spaces where we're able to do this. And of course, with the bigger company I work with, Harvest, we are doing this across the country. So
you're setting up labs like this one.
Setting up labs like this across the country and other markets where they've gone ahead and legalized the same way as Colorado, either medically or recreationally. That's kind of the great thing about the Alchemy, the Chroma, even our colors. They work really well in these markets where we can bring them about and show other people in the country what's so great about Colorado's Evo Lab.
Right.
And the response we've gotten has been tremendous. People really enjoy the flavors. They're really surprised because other companies haven't been able to achieve those same flavors. They use a lot of different terpenes and different mixtures that really can take away from that true flavor of the cannabis.
I agree because you brought that terpene pin that one time and it was like, oh, this is my favorite. You don't get that flavor in a lot of other pens. No. A lot of times the flavor you get is like, it's bad.
It's chemical.
It can be a chemical flavor.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It doesn't taste like you just ate a little piece of bud.
Well, that's the one thing. Is it's like, oh, it's like you just gave me a pot bud lollipop.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Because
when
you
hit those
good
pens, you get that full blast of flavor.
Yeah.
Not just the
oil. My favorite part of the vape is the fact that when you smoke a bowl, that flavor decreases every time that you take a hit off of the bowl. When you're using a vape cartridge that's been made properly, that same flavor and taste is there every time you take a hit.
Every time. That's what blows me away. Every time you bring a pen over, it's like, try this. And it's just like, oh my gosh, everyone is
better than the next.
Yeah, totally.
And it's one of those things where, you know, a good extractor can really, you know, elevate what a grower does.
Right.
We can take all the hard work that's done in the grow and really showcase that to the individual that's using the pen by extracting it and getting those flavors. We're able to really focus people's attention on what's so great about that product. And it's really interesting. I can extract one strain like Blue Dream, and I can do it from three different growers and end up with three different tasting products.
Wow.
Because there's going to be that much of a difference between how one grower grows versus another grower. Genetics always plays into it, you know, who has the cleanest genetics, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it is really interesting when you get down to the work we do. It can be that focused where it's grower to grower, strain to strain.
Right.
Wow. And so do you guys try to keep consistency by getting from the same grows, but yet multiple grows, so there is some varieties? Or do you guys all provide your own grow?
So we use multiple grows. They have to go through a really stringent acceptance policy by us.
So they can't be growing weed in corpses?
Yeah.
Did you hear that story?
Yeah.
You did?
First and foremost, you know, they have to be growing it legally.
Right? Totally. Not in the back of the mortuary?
Not in the back of the mortuary.
And Uncle Tom or Uncle Steve?
And yeah, they have to be very honest. We have to know every single pesticide they put into the plant.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask about the...
Every nutrient they're feeding the plant.
Do you inspect the grows?
Oh, yes, we do. Yeah. We will go by and we'll look at the grows to make sure that not only what they're telling us, but what we're seeing is
true.
Yeah,
that's what
they're
actually doing.
Their cleanliness practices and their, you know, just the way they handle their environment is probably important as well.
Well, and it's a big thing that a lot of people fail to see because we've been legal for a while in Colorado.
Yeah.
So through that time, the regulations surrounding weed have changed considerably. And the testing standards that go on with the material really weeds out the bad actors in the industry, mm-hmm. the people that aren't growing right.
Right.
And that's really lucky for me as an extractor because that means that the product I'm starting with is the best possible.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, you're already working with top quality.
Yes.
So you're going to end up with a top quality product.
Oh, exactly. and you know, that's one of the arguments people have right now. You know, when I'm doing it in a legal lab, as I do, we're able to guarantee certain things, like your safety, because I have all this lab data that's backing up everything I say.
Right.
And I'm able to look at the lab data and say, this is a safe product because it doesn't contain any of these constituents. That, therefore, it's safe for me to send it out to a patient.
Well, and you're even creating it in a safe space.
And in a very safe space. And we want to be true to our community, meaning that the communities that we have our labs in, we want to be a part of it. If there's a function where the whole town's a part of it, we would like to be there as a sponsor and help out.
Yeah,
and do anything we can do as a company, because we realize that we have to be a good citizen in the cities that we're a part of.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between someone that's illegally doing it.
Well, and isn't that it, too? I mean, that was part of legalizing it, was to benefit
the communities.
The communities.
Right. That's what we were all told in the beginning, is that, you know, all this pot money was going to go to roads and schools and all this stuff. And so it should be coming back into the community and to everyone around that are, you know, can benefit from it.
And that's the best thing about marijuana,
mm-hmm.
is it's a tax source that didn't exist before.
Right.
So if set up correctly, it can really benefit people at the heart of what they need. In Colorado schools, I've seen a lot of tremendous things done for schools around Colorado.
Yeah.
Just because of what we've done with legalization here. When you look at the money that's saved from having to incarcerate people and put them into jails alone.
Absolutely.
It allows our law enforcement to be what I call focused on the things that matter
the
more
to us.
The
more important things,
instead of a bag of weed.
Yeah. Well, let's face it, that guy that's got a bag of weed, he's less of a menace to society than, you know, clearly some of the other individuals mm-hmm. we've seen in society. Of
Flocka.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
The Flocka. I'd be worried about the Flocka.
That's crazy.
Well, and when you look at the illegal market, I mean, the United States is just as guilty. Way back in the 70s, I believe it was, they were spraying paraquat on the fields of Mexico. And if you look at the illegal growers back then in Mexico, they didn't care. They packaged that up and sent it to the United States.
Yeah. And what was that? Is that a pesticide?
It's a pesticide that was a defoliage. So it would kill all the plants. But if they were close enough to flower, they'd still package that up and send it to the United
States. Pack it and brick it.
And then we'd smoke it.
Yep.
And then the United States would smoke it. And it was very dangerous for the people that did. And that's kind of the same place we're at here. Is now we have a legal way that protects us from getting dangerous weed.
Right.
But we still have an illegal market that's able to mimic a lot of the things we do as an industry, but then do bad things with it from that point on.
That's so crazy that people even think that way. You know, like that's a goal that people have out there. I just think the black market now is kind of silly. You know, it's like it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Just go buy it. You know?
And the prices are comparable, I would think. I mean,
absolutely.
I haven't met a dude in a parking lot and bought weed in a long time. But I'm assuming it's all about the same prices. You know what I mean?
I find it funny. I mean, before legalization, I used to have longer hair. And if I were in a bus stop, I could usually count on somebody coming by saying, hey, man, you want to buy a joint?
Yeah.
Or you want to buy an eighth or a bag?
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem to happen anymore. Mm-mm. Usually when people find out what I do, I kind of get the reverse effect where people are like, hey, do you want to go and smoke a joint or do you want to try my pen?
Right.
Tell me what you think of this.
Right. Check out what I've got. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I think that it's kind of changed as far as that goes. And, you know, it's one of those things where the illegal market in Colorado has really been lessened by being legalized. And that makes it a much safer place in Colorado. Plus, it's a lot easier for people to go out and just purchase the medicine they need without having to, you know, go through the things that we had to do in the beginning where it was hard to get a license and you had to go through certain kind of grow co-ops to be able to get medicine.
Right. To get the medicine you needed for a better quality of life.
Yeah. And nowadays, people can easily just, you know, go during working hours and pick up the medicine they want. And they don't have to worry about persecution from, you know, the police following them home and all of this other stuff going on.
I think it's pretty great, too, because I think it, like, our friend, he is a veteran, and he gets a discount for being a veteran, you know, and they, they know what he likes for his medicine that he goes to get, and they know him there, you know, at the place that he goes, and it's it is like a pharmacy. I mean, they are knowing their customers. They are knowing their patients that are coming through the door.
Well, and I think that's a misconception people have. I think we know our customers better than most pharmacies know their customers.
Oh, I bet.
And that's really kind of the tragedy of life right now. We take the time to sit down with our customers and our patients and explain to them what the benefits are, what different products we have that can help them. But we take time to listen to them and try and match what they really need. Yeah. And I think a lot of times when we go to doctors, you kind of walk out of there wondering if they really listened to what you said to them.
Right.
Very much so.
Well, they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't. Well, that's the one thing that used to always really irritate me about the dispensaries is the bud tenders just know so much they don't shut up. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, dude, just buy some weed and get out of here already so I can get up there. You know what I mean? Because they have invested in their product and what they're selling and what they're doing so that they don't just willy-nilly throw somebody out, some sativa who's got anxiety issues. You know what I mean? And so that the people leaving there are going to be happy with their product. They're going to use it in a safe and a comfortable way and not harm themselves or someone else. You know what I mean? Because the person selling it to them has taken the time to kind of get to know what they're into and what they're about.
Right. And I think that's good too. Cause like I even tell people that go to a dispensary, go and talk to the bud tenders, you know, go to a reputable dispensary, go talk to the bud tenders. Cause they will teach you. They will teach you what you need. They will teach you, oh, I don't know, maybe wouldn't try that if you're a little anxious, you know,
exactly.
I mean, it's nice that they do have the knowledge.
Well, and it's one of those things. We don't necessarily take an oath to it, but it's kind of an unspoken word in my industry where we care about our patients, so therefore we take that extra mile. And I don't only see it in my company. I see it in other companies in the industry. It really feels like those that are legally doing this and have worked hard at their craft, they want to make sure that we're, you know, a good steward of what we're doing because people are always looking at us under a microscope. So we want to make sure that we are upfront, that we give people more data than they expected, and we allow them to run through that data with the hope that they'll come to the same conclusion that we have. The one thing about legalization that has changed things is there's a lot more data out there that proves what we say is true, that proves what the bud tenders are telling you is true. And it also helps to steer their conversations. As we do more studies, we're finding out more components within the miracle that is cannabis,
right,
that can do more for people.
Well, because I was going to say, I think we went to the lab a long time ago when you very first started there.
About 5 years.
Yeah, and I feel like you guys were not extracting as many components as you're extracting now. I feel like in the beginning it was CBDs and it was like, your THC and I felt like you guys were just starting to play with the terpenes, and now it's like...
Well, and that's got to be one of the greatest things about this company is it's evolved. They've brought on some of the most talented minds in the industry. And through their direction, we've been able to really up our game on the way that we go about extracting things. And then the refinement thereafter. So that's given us an ability to further isolate things and really get into, I guess it's kind of funny, the weeds.
Yeah.
And it's been really interesting over the last few years to see the influx of professionals into our industry and what they've been able to bring to it. But you're completely right. Over the last 5 years, we've learned so many secrets and so many things that were unexpected at the time. Now they seem very logical, and we look at them as, wow, I'm surprised it took us so long to figure that out.
Right.
But as with anything great, usually when you find it out, you're surprised that that's what it was, and you never knew that when you began.
Right.
What an incredible plant, right?
I know. Like,
there's so many properties, so many different ways to use the plant.
So complex.
Oh, and there are. And if you look at the history of cannabis, there's so many different societies that have used cannabis to help create their community, to help cure their community. There's a lot of people out there that they use cannabis. They don't know why they use it, why it works for them, but they know when they don't use it that they don't truly feel as happy as they could be.
Right.
And that's one of those things that has always amazed me about the plant is, it really has been a plant that's brought people together.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's only governments that have used cannabis to tear people apart.
Yeah. And a religion a little too.
a little religion.
Just a little.
They're in there helping that as well because...
It's given so many people a better quality of life where...
Absolutely.
They weren't able to do things that they are now able to do because of a gummy.
Well,
you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Or something, a little bit of CBD in their system and their body don't ache.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
their mind
mom,
is clear. To the point, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm saying to the point that full of the pet stores are full of CBDs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we recognized it's so important. It's so useful that we're giving it to our pets. Even your mom
is
coming around.
Yeah, she's using a CBD lotion, on her hands and on her joints. And it's so funny when she first started using it because... She's hardcore Catholic, raised Catholic school. I mean, everything. So our whole life, it was poison. It was bad. It was from the devil. And then it was like, Mom, just try the lotion. And now she's like, oh, yeah, I gotta get some more lotion.
Did she go to a dispensary?
No, Selena gets it for her.
No, someone got it for her. That's
yeah.
a pull out. Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, but that's it. It's just like it is incredible because like my dad too, he uses it too, because it's just like, and I tell him too all the time, let's get you CBD tablets. You know what I mean? They help. They help. I have bad shoulder, neck injury, and man, the one of the quickest things that takes that pain away is my CBD pen.
Well, for me, I mean, my family knows it. I'm a patient. I've been a patient for, I believe it's like 7 years now, a couple of years before I got into the industry. And for me, I have all kinds of issues up and down my back. I have stomach issues. And the great thing about it is it's a medication I can up the amount I use or decrease the amount I use by how much it's affecting me at the time or the day.
Right.
I'm going to say that, there's a lot of other things you have to use in conjunction with things to get true relief. And marijuana is the same as everything else. Those that are using it for when they're cooling down after a workout, those that are using it for yoga workouts, they are probably getting even more benefit from the cannabis because of how and when they're using it.
Mm. Right.
And that's something that all of us can take away from that is that, you know, how you use your medicine is also important to the patient.
Right.
Right.
Just as much as when you use your medicine.
Right. Mm. Well, it's like if you have high blood pressure, you know what I mean? They want you to take your high blood pressure pill at the same time every day.
Right.
It's going to benefit you more than if you're just all willy-nilly with it and, oh, I forgot it today. I didn't take it, you know, because it helps sustain that consistent level.
Well, and that's something I see from state to state in these labs is, you know, there's a lot of states that would really like to have that written down more like when you're taking a prescription drug. You know, X amount of this is going to get, you know, this kind of relief for a patient. Where cannabis is a little bit different because you have an endocannabinoid system. And so everybody's endocannabinoid system's different. But cannabinoids, they work with that endocannabinoid system and fit in there. And so it's going to take a different combination for each person.
Right.
Kind of like how your metabolism's different from her metabolism. The same thing is true about using marijuana. The way it affects one individual may not be the same way for another individual. Yeah. And I see that as being one of the directions you'll see our industry move to in the future is being able to really kind of nail down what cannabinoids and terpenes need to be mixed for the individual to get them the right amount of relief. There's a lot of companies already doing this.
Testing patients to find out what compositions are going to work best for them?
Yeah, working with them, you know, taking the knowledge of what we know in the past with the patient. Then being able to know what works for these groups of people and being able to come up with a mixture, a percentage, so that they know if they're getting this kind of a percentage that they should expect this kind of relief out of it. And then on the other side of it, once you get that figured out, then you have to figure out the dosing of the day to make sure that, you know, it's so that they're not swinging up and down like a roller coaster, but able to evenly go through their day.
Right.
Consistency. Gosh, it's kind of taking all the fun out of it in a way. Let's just pack a bowl and get ripped.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That, but that I think is the exact difference, though.
Yeah.
It is smoking recreationally is different than when you are managing a regimen, you know?
It shows the the versatility, I guess, in the product.
Yeah.
Well, and let's face it, it's got two sides to it. And, you know, on the alcohol, if you look at alcohol, people look at it and they say, it's just a recreational thing. Except for in the last, you know, 20, 30 years, doctors have started telling pregnant ladies, well, actually a glass of wine's really good for you and your baby once a day. You know, moderation, then it's okay.
Well, and alcohol was medicine way back in the day.
Exactly. It started off there. And then in prohibition and everything else, we changed our mindset about it to say that it was just about recreation. Marijuana, and the reason why I use this as a good example, marijuana has come into the game of prohibition where now people look at it at two different ways.
Yeah.
They want to be able to use it recreationally, but they also want to be able to use it as a medicine. So that's the challenge to my industry. It's having to be able to talk to both groups and be able to work with both groups. If you look at Colorado's laws, the medical side of it was approved well before the recreational side of it was. But the recreational side makes it a lot easier for most people in Colorado because they don't have to go see a doctor, get a prescription, go and spend that kind of time and money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas a patient, they don't mind doing that because those conversations with their doctors that are making those recommendations also help them throughout the year for treatment and how they should be looking at their health through the year and changes
and
they could make.
Progressing the industry too, because they're supplying the data with the doctors that's helping you guys know, okay, it's working.
Yeah. And I mean, we have some great examples of it. I mean, if you look at a child that is faced with epilepsy, I mean, and you apply cannabis to that, it is amazing the difference.
Don't you think that's kind of what kicked it off? Like someone did that years ago and they were like, oh my gosh, okay, we need this. And then it just really started pushing it more on the medical side than the recreational side. because that result was, it was amazing.
It was the parents.
Yeah.
But you have amazing results like that, but then you have the other side where it's maybe a result that you and I can't see.
Yeah.
Where an epileptic, seizure, you could tell when that's happening.
Right.
And you could tell when that's finished.
Right. Yeah.
But for, say, a soldier that has PTSD,
right,
how many times a day do they fight with their emotions that none of us see?
Exactly. And it's out of their control.
And that's a way for them to be able to make it through the day. So there's kind of that hidden aspect to it, too, that we don't see.
Yeah, and chronic pain. People that are in, like your mom, who's, their hands are starting to hurt, and that's just always there. But you can apply a little CBD lotion, and you start to get that relief. So you just have a better quality of life.
Well, for me, when I first got into the industry, I was kind of afraid of the way I was going to be viewed by everybody.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I thought for sure, oh, God, crazy Dennis just smoking the wacky tobacco all
day. Right, all the time.
it's all you do is just you test it. You got to smoke it all day.
And what I found was quite different. I started showing people the lotions with THC in it, how as a topical, instead of getting you high, it can do a lot more with your nerves and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you love that stuff.
I do.
And make a big change for people. Myself, I have bad wrists. I've had carpal tunnel surgeries, bad shoulders. My wife, she's also had a lot of issues with her hands. She cut hair for 30 years.
Yeah. Mm. And your shoulders, too.
Just from holding your arms up. And for her, being able to take that without getting high is an important component, which is really, really funny because it's a whole different side to it. When I started there, like, Dennis, how much THC what's the highest percentage can you get?
Right. Yeah.
And I've actually had days of, is there any way we can get this without THC?
Right.
yeah.
So it's full circle back to people want to be able to get the benefits of marijuana without getting high. And then there's people that could care less about the benefits of marijuana that just want to get high. And when I got into the industry, I was really afraid of how my own family would view that, as far as people that didn't know that I smoked weed, aunts and uncles and kind of stuff. And it's really funny. I mean, now if I don't go to those reunions, people are wondering where I was because they had a question about CBD that they had for me or THC.
Yep.
And, they really wanted to get into the weeds on marijuana. And what's really funny is at first I thought I was going to be castor-sized in my family. And now, I really find that everybody has fully engaged in what I'm doing.
Well, and it didn't ruin your life.
No,
it made it better.
Yeah, exactly.
So now they're like, okay, maybe it's not that bad.
Well, and I think that that's kind of one of the things out there is when I got into the industry, people were really afraid to get into the industry because we didn't know if the DEA was going to come at any minute and bust you.
Right.
And when you're sitting in a room with 300 pounds of weed,
that's scary.
You start thinking about what a jail sounds like.
Yeah.
And remember my first extraction room, it was about the size of a jail cell.
It was, yes, it was.
And that was what blew me away. I was going to talk about that the first time we were there, is you had this giant, biggest Ziploc bag I'd ever seen in my entire life. I didn't even know they made them that size, full of buds. And you're just dumping it into a blender. Just powderizing it. And But that's where it needs to be in order for you to put it into your machines. And now, can you extract both CBDs and THCs from any plant? Do all the plants have it?
Well, it's really dependent. I mean, think about it. Terpenes exist in all plants.
Okay.
Different concentrations, but a lot of like terpenes is marijuana. CBDs and THC are a little bit different because, they're classified as two different things, the cannabis plant or the hemp plant.
Right.
Now, they both contain THC and they both contain CBD because at the end of the day, they're, really just different strains of the same plant.
Plant, the same. Yeah.
And so the big thing about that is we can do that by extracting at different pressures and temperatures. We can selectively decide what we're going to be extracting.
Right.
Wow.
A lot of the real science goes into the refinement thereafter.
Okay.
Extraction is just one part of the process where refinement really gets into the nuts and bolts of the separation of the components.
Because that was so crazy.
That was my next question. When we very first met you, you guys were just getting in a machine that you could take the product, right, the organic matter, and you could separate it into different things all at the same time. You could shoot THCs over here, CBDs over here, some other stuff over here. Is that still how you guys are doing? Is that basically it?
Well, I guess
I don't understand the process. I'm imagining it's in a big press, like a bunch of olives, and I'm just pushing it down, and on this side I'm squeezing out some THC, and over there I'm squeezing out a little CBD oil. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But in essence, what we can do is we can apply different pressures and temperatures to things, by doing that, that's going to make things release at different levels.
Yeah.
If you're doing a distillation, then at different temperatures, you'll have different things come off in the distillation. If you're doing an extraction, that's kind of the same methodology. If you take things to a certain density with CO2 or butane or propane, then you're going to remove, a certain select molecules off of the plants. The extraction of the plant, when you look at it, it's been around forever. I mean, they extract all kinds of stuff all over the world, yeah, for perfumes to oils that you would use in your house, hemp oils, those kinds of things. I was even approached one day about extracting cedar wood, because cedar oil is very valuable, and it's a big component for, making smells, sandalwoods, those kinds of things. So that's even out there. So the one thing about it is that's been found through time is that, solvents can take out a lot of different stuff from plant material depending on the density you're using them at, which is created by temperature and pressure. And so what we've had to do in the marijuana game is we've had to find what those parameters are so that we can work in those parameters to gather stuff. But then there's other systems past that in refinement where you're more into that molecular level where you're testing and you're pulling off streams of certain components, and you're then able to isolate those to being just that component.
Wow.
This, I have this THC makes science that I've, better.
Oh, it does.
It does.
It does.
Makes it more interesting.
I think if they actually, did some marijuana chemistry questions in high school.
Yeah.
Kids might actually find it a little bit,
and they might pay attention,
more interesting, because they would find out that it's the same things that are applied all the way around. And I'm not saying that we should go and start teaching marijuana in high school, but
it could be an elective.
The thing about it is, it might stimulate a few minds, so kids could understand that this plant is actually no different than another plant, where you're applying the same science to it in the extraction of that plant.
Yep.
Exactly.
And so...
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
For me, every day, I'm learning something completely different, so...
I bet.
I work with these chemists that have some pretty grand ideas.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of getting them from being an idea to a theory to an actual workable process that you can use.
How exciting, though. I mean, just a whole new world of ideas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so every day it would be like, okay, it sounds crazy.
But... right, let's try this. Because it's always going to be progressive or growing.
Well, and really at the end of the day, I really see a lot of college courses and stuff like that starting up in our industry, because as we've been able to grow and show what this plant does, it's starting to bleed off into other areas like agriculture, because you have farmers that want to grow big crops of hemp. They want to understand the genetics. They want to understand, all the processes that it's going to take to grow that plant to maturity and have the highest quality plants.
Yeah.
So it's really amazing when you see how many other areas that are starting to be pulled into it now.
At one point, I feel like the military made all of their clothes from hemp, all the ropes from hemp.
I don't know about clothes, but I'm pretty sure the ropes.
Way back in the day. And it's like there's so many uses for hemp so long ago that have just been tucked away and now are waking up and coming back to the world because it's okay now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it should always just stayed okay.
If you check the history of our country, You'll find out our original constitution was written on hemp.
Yeah.
You'll find out that part of the reason why we went to war with England was because of hemp.
Not just tea.
Not just tea, because we needed hemp, or well, I should say they needed mm-hmm. hemp so they could make sails and ropes for right. all their ships and everything. And they wanted the farmers to plant a certain percentage of hemp to supply them with. And the whole tea thing was kind of that bigger component that said, we're not free to do what we want to do. You're telling us what we're going to plant, and then you're taxing us however you want.
Right.
Right. But then everyone just talks about the taxes.
Yes. Just, yeah, well.
It's taxation.
It's yeah. always about the money.
It's always about the money.
It doesn't matter if it was rutabagas. It was still always about the money.
Well, and at the end of the day, even what I do, you know, if I don't do it profitably, then can't really do it tomorrow, can I?
Totally.
Right.
Yeah.
You're, right.
The industry is about making money as much as you want to help people, but maybe the marijuana industry is helping people a little bit better than the pharmaceutical.
Oh, gosh.
So it's a little bit better trade. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Absolutely. Well,
and it's better for the people.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are starting to come around, but if they really wanted to be a true partner, then maybe instead of having two camps, we should all be in one camp, working together to see where the components of marijuana can work well with the other drugs that they're producing. We may be able to do something with some of the side effects by providing a little bit of THC with the cancer medication, where the two could fit in together and they could get it all in one, and we could relieve some of those immediate side effects right away.
Instead of all these chemical drugs people are taking for anxiety and depression, maybe throw in a little CBD and a drop of THC in that pill, and you won't get the anal leakage. You know what I mean? Or you won't get the severe thoughts of suicide.
Yeah, but then they don't make money because right. they make another pill that takes care of those side effects,
right. Right.
And they
right.
give you new side effects. I mean, that's how Big Pharma makes their money,
right.
is they just keep pumping you full of shit.
More
so
pills
that,
to fix what the pills I gave you.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a circle. When you look at the components of any medicine you take, you have the medicine,
yeah,
that component, but then you have the carrier.
The carrier.
Yep.
Which is, you know, 99% of all the white stuff in your pill.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the rub.
That's the what?
To me, that's the rub. What's the carrier?
Rub.
Right.
You know, what are they putting your medicine in with to get into you? And you know, maybe that's one of those things where cannabis could be very helpful. Maybe we're a better carrier than some of the carriers they're using.
Yeah. Right, right, yeah.
Well, and it is an oil. It's a fat. So things are going to stick to it and adhere to it.
Well, and depending how I make it, I mean, the other big thing I have going for it is it fits right into your endocannabinoid system.
Right.
We already have a place in the body for it to right. go into. So it can carry things right into that. And I think that it's a better, gentler way to get into the body.
Yeah.
But we all need to be a partner.
Right.
Yeah.
To work together instead of against each other.
Yeah. It doesn't work well for competing against each other.
Yeah.
It works well if we're all working together, sharing data, saying, hey, you have this, I have this.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's put the two together.
Yep.
And it really helped people.
Yeah. It's kind of like
going to save science.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you think about it.
If we don't ruin it.
When you think about the marijuana plant, it does more than just do a lot for us.
Mm-hmm.
It does a lot for our ecological systems out there, because when you look at hemp, you could do the same things with hemp that you do wood,
mm-hmm.
but I can take an acre of hemp and I can turn that over four times in a year.
Year, yep.
It's going to take me about 25 years to turn that
right,
over. Right,
yeah. Yep. Save our forests, which then would in turn save our planet.
Right.
If you want to worry about, I shouldn't have put batteries in that other clock. I just thought about that.
But and I was going to say the other, you know, thing to it is that, you know, now they're finding out that there's construction materials that we can build with it.
Yeah.
And we're finding out that it's got so many uses to it. It may become, you know, I don't know, kind of like the soybean of, you know, food to the construction world because of all the fibers that we can make from it.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
And the great thing about it is, while it's growing, you're creating a ton of oxygen.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
If we're going to be burning up our you know, forests, then we really need to have another source of oxygen.
Yep, absolutely.
On this planet.
Yeah.
And if you have more and more of that, how quickly does it begin to reverse all the damage that we've done to our environment so far?
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone should have a little crop.
Well,
creating their own oxygen. I just making my own oxygen, man.
Even if you wanted to go back in time, back in the day when they grew hemp all over the country, there was actually CBDs that were naturally in your food source because you ate meat.
Right.
CBDs are there. So there's some evidence that suggests that when we eradicated hemp, we eradicated that CBD and actually made ourselves more susceptible to cancer.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
That makes sense.
Okay, well, I just saw the lawn guys just pull up.
Okay.
So I figured we should probably wrap this up.
It's going to get real loud.
It's
going to
get real loud. Yeah. I saw some pictures of, I don't know, early America, and there were hemp fields with plants 25 feet tall.
Yeah, they look like trees.
Like it looked like a little forest of hemp plants. So it's this country was built on hemp. I learned more today than I can even I imagined I would. I thought we'd sit around and just get stoned. But geez, I just didn't realize that it's so involved. So you're doing so many more crazy things than I thought. Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about it is that a lot is going on behind the scenes. And I realize there's, you know, a lot of things being highlighted in the industry right now about vaping and stuff. And it's really one of those issues where I think people really need to step back and really take in all the information. There's a lot of misinformation going on and really look at the industry. I think there's the good people out there that are working hard to make a good, safe product. But I think at the same time, we're getting a bad rap for some of the things going on in the illegal market.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's kind of been unfair for us.
Yeah, check your facts, right? Yeah,
check your products.
Knowledge is power. And so like if you're going to partake in something, you should investigate that you're getting the best product that's out there.
Well, and I suggest to everybody, I mean, don't just take what I say to be, you know, the God's truth. Go out there and make sure it is for yourself, because
absolutely.
You're going to find something else along the way you didn't know, as I do every day when I look into this stuff.
I feel like I want to just be like, vote for Dennis.
Me too. Dennis for mayor.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you, I ran for city council once, and I'll tell you, probably not going to do that one again.
Yeah.
Politics is rough.
Oh,
it's cutthroat.
They're mean. It is.
Oh, it's
brutal.
Cutthroat.
Yeah, if you're a nice guy, you probably don't want to get into politics.
No, that's not for me.
No, I agree. But gosh, you're so knowledgeable. Thanks for coming and talking with us. I want to have you on again so we can just begin to even talk about certain products.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we'll definitely need to do that. And we could really do kind of a breakdown, and I'll bring over an email, and we can look at some of the more dabbable products.
Yeah.
We can really get into vapes and vape cartridges and, you know, probably dispel a lot of the myths out there.
Right.
And the misinformation people are getting off of the news right now about it, just through some of the common sense things that I can explain about that and show you.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be great.
I'll bring a battery. We'll break it all apart and show everybody the components.
Yeah, cool. That'd be fun.
We'll do a video.
We could Facebook Live it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, tell us again who you are and where you're at and any information you want for people.
Oh, yeah. Well, so my name's Dennis Shum, and I'm the Senior Director of Extractions for Harvest. Some of the brands that everybody knows from Colorado is the Evo Lab brands, the Chroma Colors, CBX Essentials. That's that full line of the repair oils, the Angel Salves. These are the products that I kind of like them as the day spa kind of products.
Right.
Then, of course, our colors products, that's going to be our vapes, where we actually do use terpenes that aren't cannabis, but have been tested to make sure they're still safe. And then our alchemy is straight, everything in the pin is straight from the bud. Our chroma, same thing there, everything there that is straight from the bud, just going to be very high THC on the chroma.
Wow.
Which, by the way, you know, if you're a cook, then you want to buy the chroma so that you can put chroma into what you're cooking, because those percentages work out really well. And you can literally, you know, put a dose of THC into your brownies where you don't even taste any of the weed.
Yes.
Oh,
I want that.
See, I like it. I like it when you use the green butter.
Well, yeah, I make a can of butter.
It tastes like I'm eating a branch.
Nah, but,
yeah.
And people like are that. On both sides of the fence on that yeah, one, I'm like telling that. You.
That's not for me.
And then, of course, you know, we do have a full line of a very high quality bud and everything else that is, you know, very exceptional. Everything we do in harvest, we spend a lot of money and time to do it right. And I work with a lot of really caring people that take it as a responsibility what we do for our customers. And
that's amazing.
That's why I work for this company, because I believe in them just as much as they believe in me and their customers.
Well, that's why we wanted to get you in here, so that you could educate us.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of steer people in a direction that will help them with get a better product, a better result for themselves.
Well, and be safe.
And be safe.
Yeah. Be safe totally. With what they're using, you know.
So don't know your products.
Yep, don't just jump in.
Well, and if you guys get any questions, shoot them on to me, and I'll make sure that they get an answer to it.
Yeah, if okay. you have any questions, email us at everythingswallowpodcast@gmail.com. You can comment on Facebook, Sean Swallow, Shayna Swallow, Everything Swallow.
Yep, and we will forward any questions over to Dennis.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, we'll bring you back on and talk about them again.
Totally.
Oh, yeah,
that'll definitely. Be fun.
Right. Thank
awesome.
You guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming
thank
out.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Now, you can't tell it, but his lovely wife is here with us. There she was. All right, we got a little bit of her. All right. We love you. Have a great day.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You are listening to the Everything Swallow podcast, where you will hear everything.